Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we turn our attention to AGEM in an interview with Tom Niemann, who is celebrating his first year as president of the Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for land-based and online casinos in North America. Tom Niemann became president of the Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers late last year, taking over for Konami's Tom Gingoli, who served a long term at the helm of AGEM. Niemann is senior vice president of marketing for JCM and has been a respected figure on the manufacturer side of the industry for more than 20 years. He explains how the transition went from Gingoli and how the organization has moved forward in the past year. He spoke with GGB editor Frank Legato in his offices in Las Vegas in August.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today we're talking with Tom Niemann. He is Vice President of Marketing for JCM Global, but in this capacity we're talking to him as President of the Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers, AGEM. Tom, you're the first new president at AGEM in 8 years. How's the transition gone from Tom Gingoli to you?
Well, there's a learning curve. And I now appreciate more of what Tom did. There were tasks and things that he did every month that I didn't realize were going on at the president's level. So I got a quick learning dose of what needs to get done to stay up to speed. So I appreciate it. And especially important is how Marcus Prater runs it. Mm-hmm. He does such a wonderful job in his role as executive director. And so he tries to keep the role of president as simplified as possible. Mm-hmm. So I truly appreciate his efforts, and it's made the transition. It's been a learning event, but I think I'm up to speed.
Now, the rest of the board has always been supportive of the views of the president. Is that still the case?
I'd say for the most part, but we really have encouraged an attitude of everybody speaks up. There's the voting officers and that really represent all the major OEMs. And as you can imagine, from a corporate or company standpoint, they all have their own agenda. But we've done nothing. We've greatly encouraged you to give us your opinion. And we want to hear everything. But eventually, you have to make a decision and go forward. So we still encourage that. Everyone has a voice, and everyone gets to make their comments. And then we hope we move in the direction of what's good for the industry.
Now, you have fierce competitors that are members of AGEM, always trying to get an edge over each other in the business world. How do you get them to work together for the betterment of the overall industry?
There's no doubt that the culture was set in place, and I have to credit Gingoli and Prater to put that culture in place of saying, look, everybody's got their own agenda, but when you come in this room, when we discuss it from the perspective of AGEM, what's right for the industry. We can't sit here and do anything that's good for any one company. There's always going to be a conflict to agendas. But I would say for the most part, everybody approaches it at the meeting from a standpoint of what's good for gaming. And there's the occasional situation where you're hearing a comment or a voice and opinion, and you can clearly see that would be wonderful for them. But that is far more the exception than the rule.
That's interesting. Now, it seems that over the past year, there's been a lot more cooperation with regulators. A.G. Burnett has been at your meetings. You've worked closely with the gaming board in formulating the regulations for skill and esports. In New Jersey, Dave Rebuck says he's been working with AGEM. Why is AGEM expanding this role, and what other regulators are you working with?
Well, I think it was a natural phenomenon with the maturation of the association and the people participating in it, that the realization that it can be far more efficient for one organization representing many companies, but hopefully representing them with a single viewpoint, it's far more efficient to deal with an association than to have to deal with each individual company. So from that standpoint, AGM gives what I'd say a little bit of cover.
Mm-hmm.
We can represent the industry's perspective, but if an individual company took that attitude and did it, there's always a concern of what's the reaction going to be by the regulators.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, the industry is speaking to them, asking them, whether it's asking tough questions, trying to get them to see a different perspective from the one that they currently have, whether it's on skill-based or anything like that. And the surprising, I see surprising from my standpoint, is the collaborative effort that the regulators bring to this and say, hey, look, we want to get this feedback. We want to hear this. And so if you go out and collect it from a large number of companies and bring it to us in a clear, concise manner, that's an efficient way to do business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worked.
Now, obviously, the suppliers are very interested in gaming expansion in places like Japan and Brazil. How do you keep your members informed?
Well, one, the industry media has done a wonderful job staying on top of the story of the emerging markets. And, boy, have we got a great... What's the story? Two great marketplaces, mm-hmm. But very
huge.
Different.
Right.
You have the Japanese approach, which is far more conservative, and we're sensitive. I'm sensitive to that from my role at JCM of having Japanese owners, of that Japanese always taking the long view.
Mm-hmm.
And Brazil, completely different, Latin American, a little bit volatile. I don't think I'd be the first one to describe the process as a grease fire, but it is. They seem to take two steps forward and three steps back, and then three steps forward, one step back. So both markets are progressing differently, and AGM has really stepped up quickly, put together informal committees for both markets so that they can be involved in the research or information gathering and processing, and then returning information to the markets of saying, here's the industry's perspective. Here's how we have done it in other markets. Now, you got to be very careful not to lecture them,
mm-hmm.
that because it's done this way in other parts of the world, this is how you should do it. It's more like, we'll let you know what the best practices are.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, the legislation in legislators in Brazil and or in Japan have to take that information and then do what they think is best.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus and I both participated recently in a conference in Tokyo. And Marcus did a wonderful job representing that AGM perspective,
mm-hmm.
Representing the industry. So very active, and as far as I can see, it's working. It's efficient.
Mm-hmm. Suppliers have sort of been ignored in such jurisdictions as Macau and Mexico in the past. Is that changing, and how does it benefit suppliers?
I think in those two markets, they've been very operator-centric for such a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so those operators are their licensees. And so there's where they looked for interface with the industry. I think they've now both realized that the vendor-supplier base to those operators are an important stakeholder in the process. And getting dialogue going with that level is good for the industry. And once again, we've got our Mexican committee that gets information gathered. It gets disseminated to the entire membership. And in Macau, there's been some new and recent dialogue with the regulators there with AGM directly,
mm-hmm.
in hopes that with cooperation from the operator and with the vendor suppliers, we can meet the goals and objectives of the Macau regulators.
Okay. AGM hired Connie Jones as a responsible gaming director. Why was that, and how has she contributed to the conversation on responsible
gaming? Again, I have to credit, it was Tom Gingoli and Marcus who very quickly caught on once they saw that someone with her skill set was available in the marketplace, how important a role that can play,
mm-hmm.
and that if AGM was to continue in its maturation towards being relevant to the industry, the problem gaming issue is dead center.
Mm-hmm.
And Connie does a wonderful job. I got to tell you, she goes out into the world and represents our perspective at every conference out there. She's highly regarded, so she gets into dialogue and invitations to so many of these events around the world. She goes out there as an AGM representative representing the vendors and the suppliers. She's well-educated on the subject. She's a great information gatherer, and she brings all this back. Now, she boils it down. She gives a verbal report at every monthly meeting and then disseminates a written document that is much more extensive than her verbal. You have so much time for those meetings. She boils it down to the relevant salient points, but then her written document that is disseminated is really valuable to know and understand what's going on in that problem gaming world. But she won't hesitate to speak up and give a strong opinion to those who will listen on what they're doing right and what they may be doing wrong. It's been attempted. It's been tried. Here's the results. It didn't work. Things like that. So she's been a real good asset for AGM. I think it's been 3 years since she came on board. So I've got to recognize that Marcus and Tom Gingoli saw that value right away.
Now, you focused on education for your members. Tell us how you do that.
Well, it's important that everybody stay up to speed. This industry has so many new and evolving and changing situations. And, you know, when you use the term gaming today, it means so many things to so many people, beyond brick-and-mortar casinos.
Right.
And getting that information from the outside world, trying to present it in a clear and concise way to the members, that's part of the value of belonging to AGM.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you pay your dues. And so we've tried to put an emphasis on that our responsibility is to bring in that information from around the world and disseminate it to the members so then they can react on it on their own individual company-by-company basis.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it may be highly relevant to a few companies.
Right.
Some of it may be relevant to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But part of AGM's responsibility is to bring that back and educate its members.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of constituencies out there with interests that intersect with AGM interests. Explain for us how you work with organizations such as AGA, ECA, GSA, Global Gaming Women, IAGA.
Yeah, there is how many acronyms out there? And there's a lot of vowels.
Yes.
We've worked with all the other trade groups because we think it's, again, good for the industry that the dialogue takes place. Every one of those associations has its agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great deal of overlap and a great deal of cooperation. But not everything is overlapped perfectly. So AGM wants to engage in dialogue with all those associations. I mean, nothing greater than our position with the AGA has done nothing but grow over the years. And I think that's both a testimony to the growth of AGM as far as the number of members and the strength of AGM. But in the AGA case, I think it really reflects on their new management. Jeff Freeman has come in and implemented a very aggressive, more inclusive attitude at the AGA. Their board at large represents all sections of the industry today. It used to be very centric on casino operators. That's not the case today. They've moved aggressively to include all the various aspects of gaming, and whatever that means, from iGaming to esports to sports book to everything is involved. Travel and destination. Their outreach just on sports books in the studies they've done relative to the situation with the PASPA federal law that was put in place that gave the Nevada the edge with the only state with a sports book. And New Jersey challenging that this fall, that's a great example of what the AGA has done and pulling in agencies like AGEM to work with them. So.
Okay. We've always known the impact of gaming goes far beyond the physical casinos. The products and services operators buy from AGEM members are significant, and we know how much, you know, via economic impact studies, has that opened the eyes of a lot of observers?
Well, I think the interesting part is it has opened the eyes of probably the suppliers themselves. I'm not sure we realized how much we collectively represented to the industry. Mm-hmm. And the exercise, which was put together with the idea of showing others outside AGEM just what we represent, has also been sort of an enlightening process for the suppliers themselves on how much they represent. And I'm sure you saw the latest report. I've got notes that written down here about it. You know, all the direct billing and indirect billing, 17.9 in direct billing, 14.9 in indirect billing. It's an impressive set of numbers that shows exactly how strong the vendor-supplier segment is within the gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very proud of that report, and we'll continue to invest in getting the information collected and presented.
And finally, what will AGEM's role be at the upcoming Global Gaming Expo? How will you increase your visibility there?
Well, we've worked, as I mentioned, closely with the AGA. We think that these global trade shows are absolutely critical for the dissemination of information, the ability of everyone to get together from a networking standpoint. And at this year's show, we'll once again have the AGEM booth, and we work with the AGA on a number of different projects, and certainly none bigger than the sponsorship that we do for the chairman's reception every year. So AGEM has always been front and center and ready to do whatever it takes to help foster this industry and to move it forward. And this year's chairman reception once again recognizes the Hall of Fame inductions. And again, from a standpoint of legacy, I think it's so important that we recognize those that have gone before us, that have pioneered certain aspects of this industry. And the Hall of Fame exercise is an important one, and that's why we've invested in the chairman's reception / Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Okay, Tom, well, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
You're welcome.
Hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.